Tree Bob FM.
All right, Neil, that was your Susie Boggess.
I love that. Thank you.
Dialed up there.
Thank you for playing that.
Time for the Almanac. Please come to order here today. This gavel, not nearly as... I was watching, sometimes in my downtime, I like to watch the session, legislative session on like Channel 17 or where they have it on public television.
Riveting television.
And Kurt Dowd, the Speaker of the House, has a gigantic gavel. That thing's big. That's like Paul Bunyan's gavel.
Wow.
And it makes mine... I have gavel envy.
Yeah,
I think that's obvious. I mean, it does the job, but still, that one's big. But yeah, it has a much bigger area. I only have to project the sound to this one microphone. He's got to fill the entire chamber.
Right, right. Got a big job.
Of the Minnesota House of Representatives. Are they going to get their work done, Neil? Legislative analysis from Neil Freeman right now. They're working on it.
Doubt it, yeah.
They and the governor have not seen eye to eye.
Nope. They're doing their best, and but sometimes their best isn't good enough.
And that's a problem.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
Today is Tuesday, May 22nd, 142nd day of the year. 223 days left to go this year, 1841. You have a recliner.
I do.
I have purchased a recliner. Actually, it was the two-way recliner, the double recliner with the middle console and the USB plug-in and everything, the Southern Comfort from your friends at...
Furniture and Things.
Right.
That's where I got mine.
And in fact, 1841, this was the date that Henry Kennedy, he is like the father of the recliner. If you were to walk into any furniture store, Furniture Things, and ask who Henry Kennedy is, they should be able to tell you. If they're worth their grain of salt as a salesperson on the floor of furniture and furniture-related items, they would know who Henry Kennedy is.
It's like father of the recliner.
We know who Marconi is.
Right.
He patented the first ever reclining chair.
Nice work.
1841, dang, this date. Speaking of patenting, the only president that has a patent, Abraham Lincoln, received that patent today.
What?
Lincoln received a
stovetop hat?
You'd wish. You just Lincoln logs? No. Device. This is a device to lift a boat over shoals and other obstructions, also known as a floating dry dock.
Really?
That was 1849 for Abe Lincoln.
He was still in Illinois then.
Oh, you know it. He was on the river there.
Yeah, yeah.
1868, the great train robbery took place in Marshfield, Indiana. It was the Reno Gang.
Oh, yeah.
Seven members of that gang held up the train's crew, unhooked the locomotive, made off with $96,000 in cash, gold, and bonds, and also all the sandwiches that were in the galley car.
That is a lot of money at any time, especially in 1868.
And 150 sandwiches.
That's meals on wheels right there.
Baseball, 1883. Billy Sunday of the Chicago Cubs struck out in his first at bat. This date, 1883. He would then strike out 13 more times in a row.
Ooh.
14 consecutive strikeouts.
Somewhat Buxton-like.
1883.
Or so, no.
His name should be Whiffy, like that LPGA player from like the 50s and 60s. Whiffy Billy Sunday. That was 1883.
Did he have a bat with him? I mean, something happened. I hope he at least fouled one off.
He thought he had an invisible bat.
Yeah.
1892, Dr. Washington Sheffield invented the toothpaste tube. Huh. You roll it up as you go.
Right.
Squeeze and roll. Before that, they used a burlap sack.
Oh, wow.
Imagine how difficult that would be, and how people were so excited to have an invention like the toothpaste tube.
Did you guys ever have one of those little metal deals that you slid on the bottom of and had a little handle on the side and you can just
roll it up as you go?
Nobody has those anymore. We used to have them all the time. Pretty handy. Yeah, very.
That was a good invention.
Yes.
So that was 1892. 1933, the Loch Ness Monster reportedly first sighted by John McKay. Neil, do you believe in the Loch Ness Monster?
I want to, but I don't think it's there.
This was 1933. I don't know if that was the picture that you see with the little head sticking out in 1933, but at least it was reported, the first sighting by John McKay, who, of course, would go on and coach the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yes.
1947.
And had a son, J.K. McKay, who was a wide receiver.
Truman, you know, you're nobody if you don't have a doctrine named after you, okay?
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Whoops, that's the wrong one. I don't want that one. Here's Truman.
I believe that it must be the policy of the United States
to support free people who are resisting attempted subjugation by armed minorities or by outside pressures.
There's our president, Harry S. Truman. The Truman Doctrine. Yes, you've heard of it.
Yes.
You've heard of the Marshall Plan, the Truman Doctrine.
Right.
Appropriate military and economic aid to Turkey and Greece. Basically, it was to keep communism out of there.
Right.
It was kind of the beginning of the Cold War, 1947. So that's on my bucket list, to get a doctrine named after me, a doctrine. Mm-hmm. 55 is kind of a spoiler. You already heard this.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we come to the last Jack Benny show of the month. It's also the last program of the current series. And as a matter of fact, it's the last show of the season. So now I bring you a man I thought wouldn't last, Jack Benny.
And little did they know it was also and would also be, obviously, according to that, they didn't know it would be their last one on radio.
Right.
It was on this date, 1955, Jack Benny. That was the last show on radio. He would make the move to TV then the next fall. But they didn't make any mention anywhere in this show that they were, I listened to it, they didn't make any mention that they were going to TV. So that was something that happened after.
Okay.
Or they didn't want to tell people, or
right.
TV was still too new. 1955 for good old Jack Benny. He influenced a lot of people.
Yes, he sure did.
Including someone we'll hear from a little bit later here on the Bob Almanac. This was the date, 1958, that Jerry Lee Lewis married his 13-year-old cousin, Myra, one of his, I think, seven wives.
Yes,
Jerry Lee.
Yes.
It was scandalous, Neil.
It was.
It was scandalous. And I don't. This doesn't really make it any better, but she was actually his first cousin once removed. She was actually the daughter of his first cousin.
Okay.
Which would be first cousin once removed.
Right.
Does that make it any better for you, Neil?
Not really.
No.
The fact that she was 13 years old kind of rubs me the wrong way, too.
Jerry Lee Lewis, you know, he's still going strong, too.
Yeah.
Living there in Mississippi, 1967.
Good day, Mr. Rogers. Speedy delivery.
How are you, Mr. McFeely?
Mr. Rogers. Speedy delivery for you. There you go.
Thank you very much.
Please sign here, Mr. Rogers, if you will. Please sign right there.
Be glad
Mr. McFeely with a special delivery to Mr. Rogers this date. It was a special delivery for all of us because Mr. Rogers would premiere on a national basis on PBS this date, 1967, with all of his characters, X the Owl, King Friday, Lady Elaine Fairchild. Neil, your favorite make-believe character from the land of make-believe. Were you Henrietta Pussycat guy? Did you, Lady Elaine, you had the hots for her?
I never watched
Lady
Mr.
Elaine
Rogers.
Fairchild.
I don't know any
1972,
of them.
This date, U.S. President Nixon became the first U.S. president to visit Russia. Nixon, he went to China, went to Russia.
Wow.
He went to all, he even went to the south side of Chicago. I mean, he went to the tough places.
Timbuktu.
He met Leonid Brezhnev. He became the first sitting president to visit the Kremlin. You know, say what you want about President Nixon. He was willing to stick his nose places.
Right. Funny shape.
That he didn't want to be.
Yeah.
Like the Watergate Hotel, too. And this was just about the time that that was all starting to brew, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
So that was in 72. In 1986, Cher was on Letterman, and she said this.
Oh, because I thought that I would never want to do this show with you.
Now, why? Now, let's explore this a little. Why? Because you thought I was...
an ass.
Oh, Dave. Cher. How dare you?
You can't say that on television.
They didn't get along very well.
No.
He didn't get along with Oprah, but I think Letterman later on eventually, of course, made up.
With Oprah,
and I think with Cher, too. Remember Cher and Sonny Bono reunited on his show.
Yes,
but
yes.
This was before this, or could have been after. This is 86. He would have been about 3 years into his show.
Yeah.
I'd have to take a look at the timeline. Another baseball note, 1990, Andre Dawson received a record 5 intentional walks in a game.
Wow, the Hawk.
He's going, why did I even show up?
Speaking of not bringing a bat to the plate.
He struck out a few times.
Yeah.
1990, hear this date, 1992.
As an entertainer, it's been a great experience in my life, and I cannot imagine finding something after I leave tonight in television that would give me as much joy and pleasure and a sense of exhilaration as this show has given me. It's just very hard to explain. Now, we don't want the show to be mawkish. This is it's a farewell show.
A farewell show.
Yes,
this was the last one. No guests, nothing, just him kind of sitting there telling stories. At the end, he said, I bid you all a heartfelt good night. Johnny Carson, after almost 30 years.
Gives me tingles, man.
And I don't think Cher ever called him a meow.
No, I don't think so.
Never called him one of those.
No.
That was,
Johnny was great.
1992. Let's move on to birthdays. TV theme time. This was a little bit before my time. I'm somewhat familiar with it. Room 222.
I remember it quite well.
Somebody just made a reference. I was playing golf on Sunday and checked my little laser thing, and I said, yeah, we're 222 out. No, actually, it was 227. I go, 227, that's a good show with Marla Gibbs.
Ah, yes.
And he goes, oh, you remember Room 222. And Michael Constantine is 91. He was the principal.
I was going to say, yes, he was principal.
He was the principal at the high school. What was the name of the high school?
Ugh.
You remember what it was?
I
could probably find it here. Isn't the sign is right in the Walt Whitman High School,
sure.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yep,
Walt Whitman High School for you Room 222 fans. 91. Did you send a birthday card to the Unabomber?
I did not. I didn't know. Is he still with us? I guess he is. He's not on the gone but not forgotten category.
No. 76 today. Tommy John, 75, longtime pitcher. You've heard of the Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, now you want a doctrine. He had a surgery named after him.
Pretty significant.
Yeah.
Tommy John, he was a Twins color commentator there for a few years.
Yeah, spent some time here. And
75.
Good guy.
And you can tell everybody this is your song.
It's not Elton John's birthday. It's the guy who wrote the lyrics for so many of Elton John's hits. Not all of them.
Now that it's done.
But the majority of them, Bernie Taupin.
Yes.
And it's quite well known that he and Elton John had a different way of putting their music together and writing. He would write the lyrics, and then Elton would then put the music to it. And a lot of artists will tell you, we do the music first, then the lyrics.
Right.
They get the melody first, and then they do the lyrics. But this was the other way around. Bernie would come up with the lyrics, he'd give them to Elton, and then like in 15 minutes he'd have the... A musical genius.
Both of them are musical geniuses, for
Bernie, sure. Bernie Taupin, 68 today. Dana Williams, singer and bass player for Diamond Rio.
We'll see them coming up here, middle of the summer at Bees on the river.
55. He's not a diva, but this gal is.
I have my career. You guys don't. You want what I have. And for me, it's a waste of my time.
Oh, Naomi Campbell, supermodel. When you're a supermodel, you can pretty much say that kind of stuff, right?
I guess.
If I was a supermodel, I'd be saying that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So she's 48. Actress Jennifer Goodwin, she played Vivian, the first wife of Johnny Cash in Walk the Line.
Oh,
she's
sure.
She's been in some other things as well, but that's what I remember her best as a country fan.
Say that,
And a Johnny Cash fan, I think we all saw Walk the Line.
Oh, several times.
So 40 today. And my favorite, Olympic short track speed skater.
Uh-huh.
Short track speed skater Apollo Anton Ono. No relation to Yoko.
No.
This guy can actually sing.
Or Susan Anton.
36 today for him.
All right. Gone but not forgotten. Composer Richard Wagner. German composer, influenced a lot of Western music, born on this day, 1813. The guy who created and gave us so many of those great Sherlock Holmes stories. I was on one of the movie channels last night. I'm getting all these movie channels now for a couple months free.
You've switched. You made the switch from one carrier to another carrier.
To another, right.
Yes.
Right.
Good work.
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
How much did you save?
I'm going to save, for the first year.
To begin with, before it goes back up.
Yeah. Let's see when I fact. Probably about 50, 60 bucks a month.
It's worth it.
Yeah, it's worth it. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, born on this day, 1859. Academy Award winning actor, Sir Laurence Olivier.
To be or not to be. That is the question.
With a delivery like that, it's got to be award-winning.
Have we ever answered that question?
I don't.
Shakespeare asked it so many times, and of course he's the first one to write it down on paper, but have we ever really answered that question?
To be or not to be? We really haven't. And he was born on this day, 1907, won Oscar for that performance. Price is Right announcer Johnny Olson.
And ready to match the star, Leslie Nielsen. Brett Summers.
Listen to this lineup.
Me, Johnny Olson. Patty Deutsch, Richard Dawson, and Marcia Wallace as we play the star-studded Big Money Match Game 75.
He didn't do just do Price is Right now, right?
Oh, yes, that's right. They were just going to get to Gene Rayburn. Now, so Johnny Olson was on the panel?
He was filling in for somebody.
Chuck Nelson Reilly.
I can't remember. Charles Nelson or Nipsey Russell, one of those two.
All right. Well, Johnny Olson, he was also, of course, many game shows, but The Price is Right. He's a guy who first, I believe, coined the come on down on The Price is Right. Johnny Olson, born on this day, 1910. TV producer, the guy who gave us these great shows, some great themes. A Quinn Martin production. The streets of San Francisco.
Tonight, on tonight's episode, Barnaby fights arthritis.
Also starring Lee Meriwether.
If Barnaby Jones runs you down and arrests you and tackles you, you deserve to go to prison.
We had two guys. He had him and Cannon.
Yeah, Cannon. Cannon on a full sprint down the sidewalk.
You don't think of those two guys roughing up perps.
No, you think of Cannon running to the buffet line, not roughing up perps. But Quinn Martin saw him as great private eyes.
He also on tonight's episode of Cannon, Cannon doesn't get a clean plate.
Them there's fighting words. Yeah. TV producer Quinn Martin gave us, he also was the guy who gave us the TV show, The Fugitive, 1922 for Quinn Martin. And let's see, we have Paul Winfield, actor Paul Winfield, not the wide receiver, but the actor.
I've never even met Admiral Kirk.
Admiral.
Oh, no.
Admiral.
I just love how Khan says Admiral. He adds another syllable in there.
Was he going to put a bug in his ear?
He was going to put a bug in both his ear and Chekhov's ear.
Yeah, that was.
I don't know you, but you, I never forget a face, Mr. Chekhov.
There it is. He was Paul Winfield, who was in that movie. I just saw him in Cliffhanger. Yeah. He was in The Terminator. He's been in others. He was born in the state 1939. And newscaster David Blum, remember him? He worked for NBC and then caught some rare disease or something. What was the story there? He was born in the state 1963.
I'm not into rare diseases.
He, because he was embedded with our troops in the Desert Storm.
Oh, no, he's
thing.
The one.
Wasn't he?
No, for sitting. Did he get a blood clot because he was sitting? Is that the one who was sitting troop carrier, personnel carrier? For too long.
I'll look him up while we come up with something for Almanac Trivia and those tickets. Here it is. Cause of death, pulmonary embolism.
Yep, there you go. That's what that was.
David Blum. He was a fine newsman. Did a heck of a job. He was born on this day, 1963. They're all gone, but not forgotten.
And doing a nice job reporting on our troops.
Very nice.
So we know what then how they are doing.
He died in Iraq.
Yep, that was sad.
Yes.
All right, gone but not forgotten, all wrapped up. Let's give you those tickets to the Tree Town Festival, Iowa, Forest City, Iowa, this weekend. Who's going to be there, Neil?
Well, we've got our Fave Five artists this week, Charlie Daniels, Keith Urban.
Alabama.
And on the rock
Terry
side. She's going to be there. And you can party with the money man, Eddie Money. And remember, if you want the tickets, we're going to have you come here and pick them up physically at our studio in Ramsey.
Right.
So if that factors into your decision process as to play along with Almanac Trivia, keep that in mind.
This day in 1986, what did Cher call David Letterman? No, I'm just joking. I'm not going to force you to say that.
Right.
1990 this date, Andre Dawson received how many intentional walks in a single game? He was walked intentionally.
How many times?
X number of times in one game. That is a record on this date, 1990. 763-450-0100. The caller with the first correct answer. First caller with the correct answer, please dial carefully.
Can I give them a T-shirt, a Bob T-shirt, if they identify his nickname, too?
Garth Brooks now.
And she's my lady lucky, I'm her wild card.